Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went into a synagogue, and there was a man there who had a withered hand. And they were watching Jesus to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath day, hoping for something to use against him. Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Stand up out in the middle." And then he said to them, "Is it against the law on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they said nothing. Then, grieved to find them so obstinate, he looked angrily round at them and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was better. The Pharisees went out and at once began to plot with the Herodians against him, discussing how to destroy him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once you say enough, you're done for. And there is about the Christian life a tirelessness of longing, yearning for more, which is essential to us. If self-satisfaction takes us over for a moment, how will we ever grow to the stature of Christ? How will we make our hearts great enough for God? And then we think, it's so weary, always to be wanting more, always to be longing. Why can't we settle down, shut the door, turn up the central heating, put our feet up and relax? Why can't we have a little peace and quiet and completeness and say, "Well, I've done my bit"? The answer is that immediately we are losing sight of our future, our only future really. We're becoming clogged in a muddy present which leads only to death, and forgetting the greatness of what has been said to us, promised to us. And so we have really to live in the presence of dissatisfaction, in the presence of idealism, which will not let us rest. Here we have no hope. There is always a new sort of Goliath before us. There is some battle we have yet to fight, and always, if it is the real one, it's a life and death one. It's one that will cost us dearly to take on. I think it's important when we take up one of the great stories of the Bible to notice the way in which it is laid. David is sent up with his brother's lunch basket from home. And when he arrives at the battlefield, he finds all these elder brothers shivering in their armor, and listening to the fear which Goliath is so effectively pumping into that. There's a lovely moment which our lectionary characteristically but unpleasantly omits, where Saul gets his own armour and puts it on David. We know that Saul was the tallest of all the Israelites, and David was the smallest of his brothers. And so they're just diverting themselves from their fear by letting the little boy clank around in a great big suit of armour. And he says through the visor, "Take these off me, I cannot wear them, they are too big for me." And in that moment, we know that God is not in the battle. God isn't in the lists against this giant. And we should take that to heart and know in our own struggles that God isn't in the balance with our little dramas and our little fears. That's not how he goes about his business. And already we can see that this Goliath story has even gone beyond the story of the Exodus, which has God stooping down, clogging chariot wheels and overthrowing people in water and being very much in the melee. This is not a God who takes up weaponry. And it is a little boy who goes out looking very contemptible in front of an army that is too frightened to stir all its weaponry. And it is with simple faith and courage that David goes out. In the same way, perhaps we may feel that we shouldn't be so very interested in winning our battles with the weaponry of the world, and that even winning arguments and winning disputes of one kind and another should take a back seat in our minds. God's victory doesn't need that kind of results table. And we remember that the cross is the sign that God is ready even to go down in earthly contests to help us not to think like that anymore. In the story of the man with the withered hand, there is something very powerful which we have all experienced in our own lives. A crippled person for the Jews was someone who was not fit for society. And particularly for religion, a crippled person was not allowed within 100 yards of the temple sacrifices. And Jesus is the great enabler of prayer. He taught sinners to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses." He taught outsiders call God Father. And now he brings this crippled man and has him stand up right in the middle and stretch out his shamefully withered hand. And then he asks these religious people whether it is of God that this man should be there. And they keep silence. They're like the soldiers in the trenches before Goliath. They won't commit themselves. But Jesus commits himself. And from him, healing flows, which enables this man to be in the center of the people again. I think that unless we sense our inability, our disqualification, our lack of right to be before God, the invitation to come will never be what it should be for us. And so Lord, teach us how to live the life you've given us, honestly and humbly. Lord, in your mercy, make us sensitive to the weaknesses of others and confident in your power to make us all whole, to make us one. Lord, in your mercy, and we pray for Kitty Bennett, whom we're offering Mass tonight, for all the mysteries.